me guess.
I don't know.
Freddie Roman.
No. One of the most legendary, I mean, if you listed all of the big WNEW personalities through the years, I mean, this is right at the top of the list.
Who's in the basement? Lemonade in the lobby.
Jim Lowe is here. Jim Lowe?
Hey.
There he is. No, you're not here, actually. Where are you?
I'm out in East Hampton, where we're in the midst of a tremendous storm. I always said it would be a sorry day when WNEW went off the air. Well, and it has been one sorry day out here.
When you're out there in East Hampton in this kind of a storm, I guess you can't go anywhere.
Can't go anywhere. I'm having an eggnog right now because I'm trapped in here with just some bourbon. That's
Jim,
all I
that
got.
Must be terrible, Jim.
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Hi, Jim.
Nice to talk to you.
Yes, nice to hear you.
What's happening?
Well, you know, my first actual memory of WNEW was walking into the station and meeting you. You were the man that hired me.
That's right, I did. I hired. They'll say that on my tombstone. This man hired Mark Simone. And you were there when I left. That's called the hog ate the butcher, I think.
So if somebody were trying to actually trace the decline and fall of the station, I guess it would be that moment that you hired me.
No, I think the denouement actually set in sometime after that.
Now, the reason you hired me, you were at the time, were the head of the programming department.
That's
program
right.
Director.
That's right. And I was sitting in the catbird seat.
Now, you had been here for years working for program directors, some good, some bad. It must have been a funny feeling to suddenly be on the other side of the desk.
It was not only a funny feeling, it was ridiculous. I used to look out the window and wonder how a program director should act, what he should say, how he should look, his overall demeanor. Now, I really didn't enjoy being program director. I had loved being on the radio 4 hours a day for all of those years, but I really, you know, all of a sudden here I was an executive, and I'd never been an executive in my life, and I just, I really didn't fit the mold, I don't think. But I think actually, this sounds self-serving, but I did a pretty good job. I mean, I hired you, right?
No, you did a great job, but how did it ever come to happen that you were the program director?
Well, I really don't know. I just, it's not like selecting a pope. I mean, it's just evolved to me, but I don't know. It just evolved that way. Vicki Callahan and Carl Brazell and Jack Thayer chose me.
Yeah. Now, but you were a guy who, you worked with William B. Williams, you were his, one of his peers, and then all of a sudden you find yourself being his boss. It must have been a little tricky at first.
Not tricky, embarrassing. But it came and went, and actually by the time I left, I was no longer the program director. There were a couple of guys after me. But, you know, I said this morning on the ballroom, my first 8 years in New York radio were spent at CBS and NBC, and I had a big guilt complex because I was always listening to WNEW. So when I finally went over there, and I guess it was 1964, I felt liberated, and it was like therapy. And I was able to fire my analysts and everything.
And of course, you had a number of hit records before that. So you were the guy singing on the record. You were the guy playing the record. You were the guy who was the program director at one time. You've done it all in radio.
Well, as far as records are concerned, I'm temporarily between hits right now. I think a rap version of Green Door would go. But you know, WNEW, goes without saying, has been one of the most important radio stations in the country. It, along with WSM in Nashville and KMOX in St. Louis, a few others, really a radio station that made a statement. And, you know, it's hard to believe, but during the time of Martin Block, at times he controlled a third of the market. Naturally, there weren't as many stations in those days, and it was all AM, FM together, but he used to, this was, network radio was the king then, and he used to beat out Amos and Andy and Easy Aces and those big network shows.
Yeah. Did you ever have any dealings with Martin Block?
He was gone. He was gone by the time I got there. He was still in New York radio. He was over at WABC.
Yeah.
You know, the truth of the matter is, not too many people know this, actually the station didn't pick up his contract in the early 50s.
WNEW?
Yeah.
How could that be?
I don't know, but he went over to WABC and had his own radio show for 4 hours a day and his own television program for half an hour a day. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, I was on it a couple of times about the time I had Green Door.
Wow. And then it was Art Ford and then Jerry Marshall in the Make-Believe Ballroom.
That's right. Ford did it for about a year or so, and then Jerry Marshall took over.
And then, of course, William B. Williams. And now, when you came to work here, can you remember your first meeting with William B. Williams?
Yes. He was telling a joke in the hall, and the audience, it was in the evening, was the receptionist and me. I was waiting to go in to see Jack Sullivan, John Van Buren Sullivan. Bill in those days was sort of an aloof fellow. As I said on the program earlier today, he actually was a shy man. And a lot of people took this to be an aloofness, but it really wasn't. I didn't really get to know him until I followed him in the afternoon. And we became pretty good friends in the 80s. Mm. But
you know, you were actually one of the very few people I've ever seen on the radio who are exactly the same off the air and on the air. I've never seen any difference.
Well, I take that as a compliment.
Yeah, but I mean, it's unusual in radio. Everybody is a little different off the air.
Uh-huh. I think that's true. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. What you listen to is what you get, huh?
Yeah, I mean, most radio guys, when the mic shuts off, all of a sudden they shut off. They wouldn't even bother to tell you a story, but you're just the same off the air.
Hmm.
And then some are violent maniacs off the air. No names.
Too humorous to mention. Now, listen, did you realize, when do you go off the air? When does the station leave the air completely?
At 8 o'clock.
At 8 o'clock. Do you know that Sinatra's birthday is tomorrow? I don't know what that means, but there must be some symbolism in there somewhere.
Wow.
My friend Sid Zion pointed that out to me.
It's very hard to see the symbolism somehow.
Well, maybe it says that this music will continue and continue and continue. Maybe that's what it says.
Yeah, it could be. Jim Lowe, can you hang on a second?
Certainly.
Hang on 1 second. I think we...